Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. This is our blank Game Week 29 review live stream. And of course, we'll be doing all of the usual stuff. We'll be coming to say hello to you guys. We'll be talking about our teams, talking about the four games that we've discussed or that we've just seen. And we'll be looking ahead to the future. But first things first, Sam, we have to acknowledge that the FPL Family Studio here, if you can call it that, is falling apart at the seams. The picture has literally just fallen down. We don't know how to put it back up. So we've got this bit of a gap here with whatever the hell these Velcro things are on the wall.
That's what they were. It was up with Velcro because when I put this up, I wasn't 100% sure we were going to stay in this place. So everything went up with the Velcro. But then I think when the kids come in here and they play computer games, I think they
blame the kids.
It.
Blame the kids. That is the way forward. So the picture's falling down.
Get
but
it
not
up later.
Only that, Sam, this weekend, the Bale mug, and you'll notice, guys, that Sam has got the Mickey Mouse mug going on here, because I don't know where the Spurs mug is, but the Bale mug cracked. You broke the Bale mug this weekend. Can we just acknowledge this?
This morning.
And you, it was almost like a premonition of what was to come about Bale this afternoon. On the bench, doesn't come on as a sub, bit of an L for Bale this week.
What am I supposed to say to that? That's like, the mug fell and it broke.
What are you more upset about? The mug or Bale's non-appearance today in FPL?
No, the mug.
It's very
upset about the mug.
The mugs are hard to come by the way, aren't they?
Well, the problem... Right, you're going to get me started now. But the problem with the mug is that the mug itself is reasonable... Well, I say reasonably priced. It's £8, so it's not cheap.
It's not reasonably priced.
But the postage... is £4.99.
Oh, for a mug.
So,
you'd have to be a mug.
So, so in theory, I'm just like, normally in normal times, I'd say to my mum, when you're at the ground, can you go in the shop and get me a new mug? She'd go, yeah, sure, darling. And she'd go in the ground and get me it. Well, can't do that at the moment. Can't go to the Spurs shop at the moment because they're all closed. So now I'm thinking, by the time they open, we'll be on what, game week 34, something like that.
So is the Bale mug going to be patched up? Are you going to super glue it back together?
I've super glued it.
Is it going to be like a pen holder or something rather than something you drink your tea out of?
It's on my desk for when I'm at work now. But so the reality is I need to wait till the end of the season. I need to wait till the shops are open and then I'll go and get it.
So there we go. The Bale mug is, as for all intents and purposes, gone as a mug. The picture's fallen down. And
but Spurs are on the climb.
Spurs are on the climb. So a well-deserved and a well-needed win today for Spurs.
God,
and of course, guys, we're going to talk about the four games that we've seen today, this weekend. Not a lot of FPL going on this weekend, as we know, right? As we knew. But we'll have a look at the four games. We'll see if we've learnt anything from those four games. I think, to be honest with you... I kind of came into this game week and we said on the FPL show last Thursday, I don't think any of us really had that higher expectations of the games this weekend. However, the one game I thought might be quite entertaining was West Ham-Arsenal. And I have to tell you, one of the best games I've seen this season. Thought it was a really, really good game. Now, Arsenal came back from 3-0 down.
It was an excellent game of football, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. If there was, I kind of come into this game week thinking that, and I also thought Brighton nailed on for a clean sheet, so we'd get that. And then I thought the other two games would be sort of relatively uneventful. And Leeds was okay, and the Spurs game was average, but listen, we'll talk about the games in a bit more detail later on. Then we'll talk about our teams, we'll talk about overranks and all that good stuff. But towards the end of the live stream, I want to have a look ahead, right? We've got 2 weeks now, haven't we, effectively? Or the best part of 2 weeks to start looking at what game week 30 to 38 look like in FPLs. So we've got the international break coming up for those of you that have been living under a rock and didn't realise that. 2 weeks now to have a look at your teams. And if, like us, you've been dead-ending your team and been kind of working towards 29 and having, you know, just some players out in 29 and thinking ahead to your wild card in either game week 30 or 31, I'll give you a bit later on as to why I'm planning still my wild card in 31 and not 30. We'll talk about that a bit later on because I'm looking at my bus team for 30.
Look quite good, doesn't
looks
it?
All right.
Yeah,
looks all right. Doesn't look like it needs a wild card. But then I'm looking at 31 and thinking, okay, there's some punts I want to take. There's some teams I want to have a look at. I want to have a look at Chelsea and Wolves and maybe Liverpool. So there's some players I want to bring in. So my wild card is still planned for 31. We'll talk about that a bit later on. But I've also got the fixtures as well from game weeks 30 to 38. So we'll start to have a look at the teams that you might want to start thinking about over the international break. But before we do all of that, let's say hello to a few people. Let's get into the live chat and say hi to Bossman525. How are we doing, Bossman? 58 points. Very nice indeed. Jamie Rivera is in 66 on a wild card. Feels like a good score, that. 66 this week. I think you'd take that. Pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know what the average was, but that feels
I don't know.
Nice.
I haven't had a look at that, but 66, I think, feels okay. Heavy Metal 20 is in. How are we doing? Very nice to see you. Let's see. Richard Saunders is in. James Ward is here
25,
too.
25, yeah.
Is in. 20. What? That's 25, the FPL average. What's like the top 10k average?
Top 1k is 50.
Top 1k is 50. Okay, so anywhere sort of 40s and 50s is pretty good. The FPL, the actual FPL average is going to be way down.
25,
right?
Yeah.
Be way down, because you're going to have all these dead teams that have not planned for a blank game week. It's going to be way, way down, no doubt about it. Azzy is in tonight as well. Hey, Azzy, how are we doing? One of the 30k who captained, he says Bossard, but I think he means Trossard, 28-pointer.
Well, he was a bit of a boss.
Loving that, Azzy. That is an absolute shout. And we have to give a shout out not just to Azzy, but also to our friend Az from FPL Scout, who also captain Trossard, which is a shout, by the way. I mean, that is honestly really nice.
That was a I love it. I love the rogueness of it. I love the fact that he's just gone, do you know what? I back my team.
Yeah.
Like his actual football club as well. Like, I love the fact that he's gone, I'm all in on this.
I'm absolutely cool with it.
I'm all in.
I took a bit of a punt this week as well. More on that a bit later on, and it sort of paid off. So anyone that's wanting to take a bit of a punt on someone like Trossard against a, you know, let's face it, a really desperately inept Newcastle team. I mean, desperately inept. I know they're missing games and they're missing players right now, but these guys are proper bad at the minute. Ben Reed is here. How are we doing, Ben? Nathan Joblin is in. Hey, Nathan. How are we doing? I think he had a bit of a bad day today, Nathan. But
it could have been worse, because he was desperately hoping for some players to blank.
Yes, I think he was up in the sort of 7-8 sort of position yesterday, close of play yesterday. Yeah. So the rank was looking really, really good. I think he had Veltman and Rafinha, but then I don't think today went quite his way. So Nathan, hang in there, mate. We're rooting for you. Yeah, up into single digits this weekend.
He had a rogue captain as
love
well, didn't he? Who did Nathan captain?
Rafinha, right?
Yeah.
Rafinha, yeah, absolutely. Liam is in also from our patron. Hey, Liam, very nice to see you. Evening, Liam. Sammy says, disappointing weekend with football and FPL. So yes, don't think Bristol City did well either this weekend.
No.
So thoughts and prayers there, Liam. Let's see. Ray Braith is here. Sonny Forsberg is here. Teddy Usher. And a whole host of you guys. So guys, thank you for joining us. Oh, B's here as well. We should say B. Hey, B. How are we doing? Celebrating our 3 points, Sam. Come on, you Spurs, he says. Come on, you Spurs. And why don't we start there then? Why don't we start with Spurs? Let's get onto the main page here. Here's the Twitter on the left-hand side. We also should say that you went over the 9K. Mark, on Instagram,
didn't you?
So shout out to all the Instagram followers. Thank you for following us at FPL Family over on Instagram. We've been pushing that a lot lately. Appreciate we've been pushing that a lot. So anyone that's gone over and followed us over on Instagram, we love you. Thank you. And anybody that hasn't yet, you know what to do. Get over there. Follow us. Get us up to the 10K. That's where we want to be. End of the season. Got to happen. Got to happen. There's the Twitter, though, on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. Let's get into some of these games, Sam. Let's go to this page here. Nope, that's Fancy Football Scout. Let's go here. Let's have a look at the refresh the page. Scroll down a little bit. That's next game week. Let's have a look at these games.
They'll
then.
Fit on easily, won't they?
Yeah, so these fit on very, very easily this evening, no doubt about it. Villa nil, Spurs 2 then. So talk us through the game that we've just watched. First of all, before we get into Spurs, because lots to talk about from a Spurs perspective, expected a bit more from Villa. But is it too easy to roll out the they miss Grealish rhetoric? Or is that genuinely what it is? Because again, Watkins was completely inept tonight. And genuinely,
Watkins made me chuckle.
I don't honestly think he's so overrated. I really do. I hope I'm wrong, because he's young and he's an English player.
England.
And he's in the squad, and I obviously want to see young English talent do well, but every time I've seen him, he's looked overrated. Maybe he looks in a better team, maybe in that England setup with Jack there and with Foden and with Sterling, other good players around him. Maybe he's better. I don't know, but he looks really overrated. And I thought Trezeguet had a difficult game today. Even El Ghazi came on, didn't really make an impact. So Aston Villa, how are we feeling about them going forward?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I think yes, they do miss Jack, and it's the same, you know, when Spurs miss out, when Harry doesn't play, right? You have that missing cog and nothing else quite works quite as well. The problem I have with Villa is they're so inconsistent with the players that they're starting. So sometimes Watkins has Barkley and El Ghazi behind him. Sometimes it's Traore and Trezeguet behind him. Like, there's no consistency of the players that are starting in and amongst him. And that's really hard as a striker, because those players that are feeding you all feed in a slightly different way, right? So without them on the pitch, he's constantly having to work quite hard himself. So when you watch him, he is making all the right moves. He's in the right places. He's just not getting any service. And that's really tough as a kind of isolated forward like he's been playing as.
He didn't really have much in the way of goal-mouth action, though, against, and I hope you don't mind me saying it, because they did get the clean sheet tonight, obviously, but I didn't think that Spurs back four looked very well coordinated at all. And I honestly didn't. And it was commented a few times by Gary Neville in the commentary, and I think he was spot on. I didn't think there was any leadership back there. They looked at sixes and sevens a lot of the time. Didn't think that Højbjerg did a great job protecting them either.
Well,
but again, the clean sheet. So what does that tell you about Watkins and Villa? That tells to me that they really are very impotent at the minute.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because also they've been without Jack Grealish now for, what, four game weeks? Something like that. It's been a relatively long period of time. So you would have expected that by now they would have found a way to at least get some service to Watkins without him. But they just don't seem to have found a way to do that. I thought there were some players out there that had decent games. I thought that actually it was more the defenders that were having some decent opportunities from attack on set pieces, because Spurs did look a bit sixes and sevens quite a lot of the time when it came to set pieces. It's tough. I think the Spurs defence, if you're a regularly on our owner, then you're
desperately unlucky for Reguilón.
I mean, that's just really, really bad luck. Nothing else you can say about that either, because he looked really good. He was playing really well. He was making some decent runs and getting into the right positions going forward. So they looked like there might be some attacking potential there from him as well. To go off in the way that he did, really disappointing, because to be honest, with Rodon getting all the bonus points, he probably would have got them too.
I think you could be right. So Aston Villa's upcoming fixtures, it's Fulham at home, then it's Liverpool and Manchester City before a nice fixture at home to West Brom. But of course, that is a derby.
I mean, you would expect Grealish to be back by the time that the international break is over.
You'd think so, but going into game week 31, you'd be putting your team together, wouldn't you? You and I would be certainly putting our wildcard teams together, and you'd be looking at Villa going, well, Liverpool away this week, City next week. I think you'd struggle on that basis, because you're trying to put an 11 together, but that for the rest of the season, but that short-termness would kick in, wouldn't it? And you'd go, well, Liverpool, City, no. You know, and maybe we'll have a look in 33 against West Brom, but...
Yeah, but I think the reality is that for the majority of FPL managers out there, you own Watkins. And for me, Watkins is... And I'm going to say this again, and he'd probably go on another run as soon as I sell him, but I think he's a non-asset again.
Mm.
I think there are other players in that position. I mean, you look at... I know that he's not guaranteed to start in the same way that Watkins is, and I know that they've got players coming back from injury, but you look at Iheanacho again today, getting goals in the FA Cup against Manchester United, like playing really well again.
Will you have Ollie Watkins in your wildcard?
No.
No chance.
There's not a single...
Could score a hat-trick against Fulham, but I wouldn't have him.
There's not a single percent chance that I'll have him still by the time 31 rolls around. No. I don't even think I want him for Fulham, to be honest.
All right, talk to us about Spurs then. Obviously, Bale with a no-show today, which, given his performances, I mean, here's my take on it, and you'll obviously not agree with this in any way whatsoever, but against the Burnleys and the Palace, where you don't need to track back and you're all out attack, you know, we just want to score goals, you can afford to have a luxury player like Bale in there. And he is, no doubt, 24 carat attacking quality. But the guy doesn't track, he doesn't defend, he doesn't work for the team, he doesn't press. He is a luxury player. So, okay, you come up against a tricky tie, like Zagreb away, completely anonymous. You come up against other teams, like the Fulham game a few weeks ago, anonymous. And I don't think Jose trusts him. And in a game at Aston Villa, where you've got to get up and down all the time, he preferred to put Tanganga there and put a working midfielder in front of him.
Yeah.
So how are we feeling about Bale going forward?
Well, I don't think he put Tanganga in instead of Bale. He put Lascelles.
No, he didn't. But you could see what he was trying to do, Jose. He was like, right, I'm fed up with being exposed to like this down these weeks.
He was fed up with having Aurier and Doherty.
Yeah.
I nearly swore then. But, you know, being absolutely awful at the back.
Do you not think part of the reason those two guys, though,
awful is because they're awful.
I agree. I don't think they're good defenders either. I think, you know, going forward there, I think they offer something. But do you not think that they are incredibly exposed by not having that double up with anybody on that side?
Well, probably. But the reality is that they have been incredibly exposed all season. And Bauer's not played all season.
Okay.
So they are awful. They are awful going forward. They are awful defending. They are basically just awful.
And what I will say about Gareth Bale is that you've got Newcastle up next. Now, there's a game where you can afford to be luxury. Bale will start and he'll probably do pretty well.
I think he didn't play Bale today, not necessarily through any fault of Bale's, because I didn't think it was his... It's not his responsibility that we lost in Zagreb, is the reality. Some of the players that got dropped today... You could see that he's done it because he blamed them. And to be honest, I blamed them as well. But Bale, I don't think he is accountable for what happened in Zagreb. But I do think that the reason he doesn't show today is because it doesn't fit in the way that we're trying to play against Villa.
Yeah.
We went to be more tight at the back and play forward when we could. I thought Lucas Moura was absolutely phenomenal.
He was fantastic today, Moura. Yeah, very
absolutely
good.
Phenomenal. And I think what we would have seen, had we not gone 2-0 up, we probably would have seen Bale come on. Mm. He probably would have brought him on because Villa were tired and he probably would have brought him on for those fresh legs to kind of see the game out. But the reality is we were 2-0 up. He brought on Sissoko instead to shore things up. But I think you're right. I suspect that against Newcastle, we'll see Bale start because that's the sort of game that he will just go, off you go.
Off you go. Yeah, run free. Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Moura was fantastic
unbelievable
today. Fantastic. And of all of the players on that pitch, he put in the most in terms of legwork and a shift. And I noticed he got the three bonus points. Nice to see.
Deserves as well.
Nice to see the player that, you know, you watch and you think, yeah, you've had a really good game. I think Gary Neville gave him man of the match. You think, yes, you deserve the three bonus points there. A player who, obviously, famously, I didn't bring in this week, Harry Kane. I know a lot of you have captained him. So here's an opinion that is going to go down not very well on this live stream or in the FPL community whatsoever. But I'm sorry, that is not a penalty.
Well, listen...
It's a horrendous decision.
But as I said to you when it was live, if that was Salah, you'd be going, there's been a... Why have you not gone down?
So, I tell you the reaction. If that's Salah or Bruno or Zaha, it's not a penalty. It's not given. And then they are vilified for 2 weeks about diving. So here's how that played out. And I've watched it back a couple of times on the replay. Kane loses control of the ball.
Yeah.
It's going out of play.
Yeah.
Matty Cash is already on the floor because he's trying to stop the block. Now, he shouldn't be on the floor. That's the point. So he shouldn't have committed. He should be just holding Kane up. But Kane's lost control of it.
Yeah.
And Matty Cash is... There's like a good foot between them. There's a space between them. So if Cash carries on sliding, he slides off the pitch and he doesn't touch Harry Kane. But what Kane does is realises he's lost the ball, control of the ball, puts his leg in the way of Cash sliding... There's the contact and it's a penalty. Kane also goes down and screams because you can hear it. And then he's rolling around holding his shin. Now, I'm sorry, if that is another player, if that is a Salah or if that is a Bruno or if that is a Jesus or if that is somebody else, not the England captain, that is not a penalty. It's not a penalty.
And you're not bitter and here at all.
I'm massively bitter because that's the difference for me between a 20k green arrow and a 40k red arrow this week is Kane going down like he's been shot.
The thing is...
And it's Martin Atkinson who cannot wait to give the penalty.
All right. But...
Never a penalty.
No, all right.
Never.
But you spend all of your time, all of your time, when we watch football matches together, you and multiple other people spend all of their time saying, if that player goes down, it's a penalty.
Mm.
Go down. If you feel some contact... Go down.
But the thing is, he has created the contact. There is no contact unless he creates it.
Sure. But the player's
on... He's very, very cute.
But the player's on the floor. He's put himself in a position to give away a penalty.
Oof. I think if that penalty is against you, you are fuming. If there's any Villa fans listening, and if you're in the chat or if you're in the...
Remember, I've hit Eric Dyer on the back of the hand. Facing the wrong way penalties against us. That was far worse.
I'm not saying that that's right either.
All I'm saying is that the guys on the ground, if you go to ground in the box, there is always a chance that you give away a penalty. It's a risk you take. Now, by the way, for the record, I agree with you. I don't think it's a penalty. However, if you're on the ground, there's a chance the ref gives it. And today the ref's decided it's a penalty.
It is horrendous, horrendous.
And I'll take it.
What would you call it? I don't even know. It's S-housery of the highest order from Harry Kane to win a penalty.
It's clever.
It's really, really clever. It's really, really unsporting. But listen, it is what it is. Of course, I'm salty as a non-owner. And everyone listening to this video will absolutely have captained Harry Kane. So I'll get absolute pelters for this, I'm sure. But it is a shocker.
Your captain didn't exactly go badly.
Well, that's because I thought that Brighton would get the clean sheet. And I've called that game correctly. Yeah. I thought Harry Kane and Spurs would have a difficult game today. Actually, you played better than I thought, to be honest with you. But I thought Kane would be quiet. And he was. I didn't think he'd get much opportunity in the game. I was correct. And he's bought a penalty. And the one to blame is Matty Cash, because Matty Cash should not be on the floor sliding along on his backside.
But what I'm saying is that your captain, bar the bonus point, scored exactly the same.
Yeah.
So there isn't any real need for this real annoyance. The reason you're annoyed is because you don't own Harry Kane.
This is an FPL live stream. Of course I'm annoyed because I don't have Harry Kane, and everybody else, 80% of the game, has captained in this week. So for me, that's the difference between gaining 20k in places in a difficult to navigate game week and losing 40k places. So yeah, I'm a bit annoyed about it because obviously I think he's bought the penalty. It's just my opinion. No one else will think that because everyone else has captained him. But that's my opinion. He's absolutely bought it. But it is smart from Kane. And if he does that over the summer and wins us the Euros, I will be happy as Larry.
I said that to you, didn't I?
Right, let's get on right to a game which was way more entertaining. West Ham 3, Aston Villa 3. West Ham 3, Arsenal 3. Talk to me about Jesse Lingard. Absolutely on fuego right now.
I bought Jesse Lingard in this week.
Yeah.
On a 1 week... Jesse, in you come. You come in for 1 week because the West Ham fixtures, we'll see it later, and they're mixed. And I was a bit like, you know, do you know what? I don't want three West Ham going forward. I'm quite happy to hold Creswell going forward because he's been phenomenal, although naught thanks today, Aaron.
Yeah.
Could have been better. But I thought Jesse Lingard, great record against Arsenal. He's one that I really seriously thought about captaining in it. It was only the fact it was Kane was my other choice that obviously meant I went Kane. But I thought he was absolutely unbelievable again today.
Really
particularly
good.
In the first half. He was everywhere.
Doesn't
everything
he make the
good.
Others tick as well, right?
Yeah, everything yeah. good that was going on in that West Ham side today.
So answer me this. Why? Because he hasn't been for years. And all of a sudden he gets this new lease of life at West Ham.
But doesn't that often happen? They go
I don't
when
know.
They
I just
when
don't
they're not,
know what it's all about.
Sometimes I do think that a player that's been at a club where it's clearly not working. He's clearly not valued, and I don't mean that negatively towards Manchester United, but he's not part of their plans, is he? He's not part of their furniture. So he's just sitting on the bench, and it's frustrating, it's annoying, and you see it all the time. They get this new lease of life where they turn up at another club and they go,
do you not think it's because he wants a new contract in the summer?
Maybe, but you're
Euros
so cynical.
And a new contract.
What is wrong with you? You're so cynical. Don't
what have you seen from Jesse Lingard in the last 4 years that makes you suggest he's interested in anything other than money?
Nothing. However, what I have seen in the last six game weeks, is a player,
he looks great. No
is a
question.
Player that wants to play football, is enjoying his football again, is playing incredibly well, and maybe... it's always about money, isn't it? At the end of the day, they're footballers. But maybe it's also about the fact that he wants to play football. And maybe doing this gives him a move away.
You absolutely could be right. I think you're totally wrong. But
I'm not saying he's not about the money, because of course he's not going to go anywhere that's not paying
man.
Him properly.
You watch the contract roll in or the big money move.
Can't see him staying at Man United though, can you?
What is he now, 20? I know we joke about him being a youth team player right for years, but he's got to be in his late 20s
he's
now.
Not he's, going
got
back
one,
to United.
He's got one big contract left in him. It's either at United,
no.
because United look at him and go, we want you
Can't
back.
Stand
or
stand.
He takes a move and it's a big money move and that's his last move. He knows this is his last money move. He's on. Oh, man. But don't get me wrong. I think it's horrendous that he's playing at the way he's playing because he wants a new contract. But don't get me wrong.
So cynical.
In FPL right now, he is class. And if you brought him in, he's doing absolutely brilliant. They've got Wolves next, then Leicester at home, which I think is an all right game for them. Then it's Newcastle, Chelsea at home, which looks a bit difficult on paper, Burnley away. So actually, the West Ham fixtures don't look too bad at
they
all.
Are a bit
and if
up
you've...
and down. I think Leicester's difficult. I think Chelsea's difficult. But the game's in between.
Home games, though. You fancy them at home, don't you?
Do you fancy them to get... Chelsea defensively, they've been really
That's
good.
That's a bit tough. Yeah, that'd
really
be tough.
Good. Leicester defensively have been a lot better. Like, they were good today against Manchester United. I know it was a cup game, but they wanted to win it. There was a proper team out. They played well. I think there's some just some tough games in there, but I really like the look of Lingard. I think he's added a whole new dimension to West Ham, and I think I know that Antonio played well today, and I know that as an Antonio owner you were incredibly frustrated by him today. But I think Lingard is a far better pick than Antonio, and if you have to choose between the two of them, I'd be going Lingard all day long.
Would you? I don't think it's as clear cut as that. I think I would tend to agree with you. I think I would go Jesse Lingard over Antonio right now, but it's closer than that. I think it's closer than that. I mean, Antonio on another day, if it weren't for Souček nabbing his goal off of him, he would have had a goal and an assist. Played really well. I think there's space for both of them in FPL, don't you?
Maybe. I don't know. I think for me, I don't know how invested you want to be in West Ham, because I also think that Creswell, I know he didn't get a lot today, but I do think that over the course of the rest of the season, his set piece potential is so great, and particularly against sides like Newcastle and Wolves, particularly if Wolves don't have Patricia, and we haven't really had any word on that yet.
No.
If they're without him, then we could have a situation where, you know, Creswell's set piece threat is absolutely humongous, and I think I'd want to own him. So to own Lingard and Antonio feels just a little bit West Ham heavy.
All right. Okay. Super chat from Aaron Chen. Hey, Aaron, thank you for the super chat. As a United fan, Lingard is definitely playing in the form of his life, and he probably is playing to prove a point to Ollie that he deserves to play.
But he says he want to go back. He don't look like a player that wants to go back to United to me.
I don't know. He looks like a player.
How old is he?
He looks like a player that wants a new contract. He's in his late 20s, isn't he? Anyway, forget all that. Forget my opinion on it. This is an FPL family show. In FPL, he's good between now and the rest of the season. And I think you'd want him, whatever his motivations, if your motivations are FPL points, have a look at Jesse Lingard.
And no, the fact that West Ham are going to be they're in the hunt
for
Europe.
They are in.
So they are
yeah.
one of the teams that you should be looking at.
Agree.
For investment for FPL till the end of the season.
Agree.
That Jesse Lingard should be at the top of that list.
Unfortunately for Craig Dawson owners today,
two goals in two, difficult.
Difficult for Dawson owners.
Yes, it is difficult for Dawson owners, but that's two own goals in 2 weeks. What is he
it's tough, isn't
what it? Is he doing?
It's so tough. If you bought Craig Dawson in 2 or 3 weeks ago, because he's scoring goals and he's getting forward from set pieces, and he's got back-to-back home, that is so hard for Dawson owners to take.
It's really unlucky, but oh my gosh.
What else do we want to say about Arsenal then in this game? Because it's a good game. Genuinely, I did enjoy this game. Oh, don't have anything else fall off the wall.
Broken this,
oh God, don't break anything else.
Yeah.
Podcast listeners, the studio is well and truly falling apart today. Talk to me about Arsenal though. 3-3, good game. Not for the first 30 minutes, but after that, they turned up, didn't they?
I thought Saka was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, good game.
I thought he had a really good game for somebody that was supposed to be injured. I thought he was really good.
Right, yeah.
I thought Chambers...
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I mean, I know he's young, right? And he heals quickly, but...
I mean, there's healing quickly and there's that.
That's crazy.
And I thought Chambers was fantastic as well. I thought that those two had a really good game. I thought defensively, they were a little bit iffy. I mean, to be honest, the second one, you can't say anything about that. They just weren't ready. And actually, Brighton fans should be really blimmin' annoyed that gold stood and theirs didn't a few weeks ago. That's
the dunk
thing.
Free kick, yeah. The whole, you know, are you ready from that free kick? Yes, good point, that. Good point.
I mean, the dunk owners will want their points from the other week back.
Yeah, I mean, Lingard owners will say, well, quick thinking from Jesse. And it was, no doubt about it. And Arsenal, as soon as that whistle blows, they switch off.
Yeah,
then they shouldn't do that. Schoolboy error, really, to switch off. But you might feel a bit hard done by if you're an Arsenal fan.
So I think defensively, Arsenal is still a big no for me. The defenders are...
Okay.
I know that
Tierney... Good fixtures coming up, though.
I know that Tierney has real potential upside to his game, but I just don't trust them. They've always got a stupid mistake in them, and it would annoy me. I think they cost quite a lot, the Arsenal defenders, in terms of budgets. There's always just a silly mistake in them. Going forward, I think they look better. I thought Lacazette had a good game as well today. I thought Aubameyang was pretty pointless. Sorry to bring
that
up.
Well, it's... yeah, obviously, I brought him in this week, and that was disappointing to see him shoved out to the left. Now,
yeah.
He did come more central after that half an hour, and they did look better. And I don't understand why... They don't put him where he's most dangerous. But I don't know whether, again, I'm questioning a lot of players' attitudes here tonight, but there's another part of me that thinks when he's shoved out left, is he emotionally into the game as when he's central? When he's central, he's like, right, I'm the main man, give me the ball, bang, I'm going to do this.
Maybe.
But when he's left, I don't know. Either way, I'm not going to go into my 31 wildcard looking at Aubameyang. I think Saka's better value. But also, I'd like your thoughts on Odegaard, because if you look at some of his underlying stats today, wasn't, you know, crazy in the FPL points as we might have thought from a performance like that today. But goodness me, he's making them tick. What a find they've got here.
Yes. But
what's the but? He's great.
But the but is only from an FPL point of view. It isn't from a football point of view, because I think he's been fantastic. For the last couple of games, I thought he was great in the North London Derby as well.
Yes.
So from a football point of view, I totally agree with everything you've just said. But I do somewhat worry that he's not an FPL asset. Because although he got
FPL... it's frustrating if you bought him in.
Yeah, because although he got the FPL points in the London Derby, that was a blimmin' lucky goal. It was a massive deflection off Toby. It wasn't like a... You know, it wasn't like a really well taken goal. Sure. The keeper's saving it if it doesn't get deflected. So I fear that Odegaard is one of those players that you're going to watch week in, week out, think, you are really good. You're really talented. You're making the Arsenal side look a whole lot better than they are. And you'll feel really annoyed that he never really returns you any FPL points. I think you'll get more points.
Having said that, the goal was deflected, but that was 2-2 for him at the time. And today, I think we can sit here and genuinely you can say, he was unlucky not to get points today.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's pretty cheap as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I think Saka's a better pick if you're going for Arsenal. I think the big question for me is, because now you have Aubameyang, they've got Liverpool next. Now, what are you doing with him? Because for me, he would be getting straight back out the door the way he played today.
It's possible, Because again, I look at game week 30, particularly as I'll be wildcarding 31, I'm going to use my transfer in 30. I'll be looking at him and maybe a straight swap to a Chelsea midfielder, right? A punt on maybe a Chelsea midfielder against West Brom. I need to have a look at that. But yeah, I mean, if I look at my wildcard in 31, I look at Arsenal's fixtures, they kick off with Sheffield United, Fulham, then it's Everton, then Newcastle. So, okay, Everton and Fulham, tricky, but both at home. Sheffield United and Newcastle, two of the next four. I'm going to want some Arsenal in my wildcard. I'm pretty sure.
You want Aubameyang?
It's not Aubameyang at this moment in time. No, unless he can prove to me against, even if I take him out, if he then has a great game against us, maybe. But right now, I could have for 6 or 7 million less, I can have Smith Rowe, Odegaard, or Saka. All three of those I'd prefer right now.
And he does play him out wide a lot. And when he's out wide, he's just not as good.
Yeah. I think it would still be Saka for me, just about.
It would be for me.
But I have got my eye on Odegaard because I know he's getting in those areas. He's looking good. He should have had points today. Definitely could have had points. Callum Chambers as well. Good game for Callum Chambers.
Played well.
In place of Bellerin. Well. Had a good game, must admit. And Lacazette, again, not one I don't think that I'm considering on my wild card.
He's too tough, isn't he? Because he doesn't always start. And
it's a difficult
problem.
One. It's a difficult one, no doubt. But I do think I'm going to want some Arsenal in my wildcard in 31, no doubt about it. Game of the weekend, that was for me. I really, really enjoyed that game.
It was a quality football match.
Let's go from, back to front. Brighton 3, Newcastle 0. So a game that I think, I must admit, I didn't for any minute think that Brighton were not going to win this game. I didn't think it'd be quite so comprehensive. I thought it might be tighter.
Yeah, I did. I thought there was a chance this game ended 0-0 because Brighton hadn't been scoring a lot of goals and Newcastle were awful. But because Brighton haven't been scoring a lot of goals, I thought, there's potentially it's 0-0 or Brighton win it 1-0. I did not see Brighton winning it 3-0.
No, I didn't either. But the way that Newcastle kind of
collapsed,
emotionally collapsed a little bit, particularly in that second half, is worrying for Toon fans, isn't it?
They were awful.
If you're a Newcastle fan listening to this now, let us know in the comments, let us know in the live chat, how you're feeling about your side. Because I'll be honest with you, it's not there. The fight isn't there. And they are absolutely 100% in a relegation scrap. And there doesn't seem to be even the desire to want to get out of it. That's my worry for them.
And the issue that I have with them is that Fulham are the opposite. They have absolutely the desire to get out of it. They've improved massively. They've gone the opposite way. Whereas Newcastle, and I know that Newcastle have been incredibly unlucky. The COVID situation hit them really badly. Not just at the time, but the long-term effects of that were really, really damaging for them with losing LaSalle for so long. The St Maximan injury has been really tough for them to deal with. The Callum Wilson injury has been really tough for them to deal with. And I understand that they've been struggling with the squad in just having players available.
Yeah.
But there's no excuse for a lack of trying. And that's my issue with Newcastle, is that you watch them and they don't seem to care.
There was a hell of a lot of #BruceOut on Twitter over the weekend. No doubt about it. Azzy, who I think is a Newcastle fan, he is, yes. We never had a shot on target against Brighton twice this season. 3-0 in both games. Yeah, they got battered, they did, didn't they? Yeah, at they St. Did. James's. Yeah, I remember that. We're going down, Lee. Fulham have desire. We don't. Well, there we go. Straight from the horse's mouth, right? And I've got a couple of pretty close friends that are Newcastle fans, and they are not feeling it either, I have to tell you. So from that perspective, in FPL, do we target these guys now?
Who?
We target Newcastle whipping boys, right? No, we're not getting them in. This is a public service announcement. Do not get Joe Linton in your FPL teams. But target them, not least with Tottenham Hotspur next week.
Well, so part of it, I was really torn this week between the Bale and the Aubameyang thing, and I sat for a long time trying to work out whether I was listening to my head or my heart with the Bale thing, and I was like, but I kept looking at next week. I know it's 2 weeks, but the next game week, thinking Bale's got Newcastle and Aubameyang's got Liverpool. What Liverpool do we see? Well, Newcastle aren't getting any better, are they? So in the end, I went Bale because I just thought that Newcastle side is.
Who did you sell Bale for? Salah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair
enough.
Fair enough.
I just really struggle to see Newcastle improving. Now, I know that Callum Wilson is on his way back and that will help. But the problem is, for me, their heads have gone. And when
do you think it'll help Callum Wilson?
Well, of course it's going to help. They'll actually have a striker that can score a goal.
They've got to get balls in those areas.
But the problem is, that the rest of the side, their heads have gone. Callum Wilson's going to end up going down two seasons on the bounce, is my view on this.
He absolutely could, no doubt about it. I like the assistant manager from Bournemouth. I can't think of the guy's name, but he's come in and he's tried to get them playing in a different way, a bit more expansive, a bit more high tempo. They just haven't got the personnel to do that, in my opinion. And that's not Steve Bruce's way of playing football. And there's just this, I think they thought it was going to work and be a new Newcastle. And it just ain't working at the minute.
It's not
going to
be
really
until they've got a new manager.
No,
right,
it's not. A super chat from Gura. Thank you, Gura, for the super chat. Bale and Stones to KDB and Rudiger. Oh, goodness me, there's a lot going on here. So Bale and Stones to KDB or Rudiger.
When? Now?
I would think, yeah, for the next game week. Or Stones and Diaz to Azpi and Dina, as planning a bench boost in 30 before his wild card in 31.
Yeah, I'm looking at the bench boost.
As bench boosts need the most certain starters. So he's looking to get rid of Stones in either way, and maybe bringing in Bale and Stones out. So okay,
you'll regret taking Bale out ahead of Newcastle.
I do. Yeah, I do. I would. Okay, I know you want sure starters, but... Listen,
he's going to start him against Newcastle.
I think he's going to start against Newcastle. Has he got some international football to play, Bale?
Yeah,
I guess he has, so keep an eye on that and see what happens.
You play him against Newcastle, I'm fairly sure of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be selling Bale ahead of that Newcastle game. If anything, I'd want to add to my Spurs assets ahead of that Newcastle game. Based on what we saw at the Amex this weekend, it really was terrible. But we can't neg on Newcastle too badly because Brighton were good. And they've, kept the clean sheet as we expected. Trossard found those pockets of space that we expected. They played pretty well.
They did. And I did another move I seriously considered. I never really looked at the... I said on the FPL show I fancied Lallana to play well, and he actually did, but didn't get any points. But defensively, I looked at them and did think, and we did our three hit teams, and I doubled up at the back with Brighton, and you trebled up at the back with Brighton as part of those that we did on the show.
Yeah.
And I did look at that. I really did look at Veltman. I fancied Veltman for a few weeks. In fact, about 6 weeks ago when I bought in Ben White, I was having a chat with Jules because I was like, how nailed is Veltman? If Lamptey comes back, have I got a problem?
Well, I think it was more the burn injury, wasn't it? And Veltman going as part of the central three at the back.
No, so this was back when. Right. When I bought, because my plan was to bring in Veltman 6 weeks ago instead of Ben White. Okay. And the only reason I didn't do it is because at that point, Potter kept saying, oh, Lamptey's back, Lamptey'll be back, Lamptey'll be back. Oh no, Lamptey's got to have surgery, he's not coming back. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, so gone. And Veltman, I think when, I did worry a little bit when Dan Burn was not there, and that put me off. And the fixtures going forward put me off doubling up at the back.
Well, that's the thing now, isn't it? So Brighton have got United away next, then Everton, Chelsea, before nicer looking game against Sheffield United, then Leeds. So the next three don't look that great for Brighton. So is it a case of, I've maybe bought Brighton in for this week, thanks very much, bench for next week, maybe move them out in your wild card? Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the good thing about Brighton is they're cheap, right? So... yes, you can bench them for the next couple of games when they're difficult and hold them for that Sheffield United game when you probably want to play them again. So it's not the end of the world. I think with the players like Ben White, Veltman, in particular those guys. Super, and Sanchez, if you got the keeper, super cheap, easy to bench, not a problem. But if you, I don't know, I think that there are some positions, the likes of Trossard and people like that in the middle, where there's probably other players over the next 3 weeks that you would rather own instead because they have nicer fixtures.
Yeah, and as Danger C is saying, Welbeck was class, did have a good game. He did play well. But again, I look at those fixtures and I'd struggle to add to Lewis Dunk in my Brighton ranks, I have to tell you. And I'm probably going to bench him for next week when they go to Old Trafford. So Brighton, a good win for them, but I don't think you'll be adding to them in FPL. Fulham 1, Leeds 2. So a good performance by Leeds this, and actually a pretty good game. Just shows you what Leeds can do when they play on a decent pitch. I noticed Mark and Az were talking about this in Black Box during the week. And I have to say, I do agree. I think the Elland Road pitch is really hampering Leeds.
No.
What?
We gave them that pitch.
Spurs gave them that pitch? What are you talking about?
Their pitch died. Right. So they needed a new pitch.
This is a true story.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm not making it up.
Right, you gave them the pitch.
We sold it to them. And so they came to us and
they keep the receipt.
No, it's shocking. They're not having a refund. They came to us and they said, we've got a problem with our pitch. Basically, it was unplayable. Can we please buy your spare pitch? And we were like, well, it's not ready. It's still being, because we grow extra pitches for the White Hart Lane at the training ground. So we were like, well, it's not fully grown and it's not ready. But if you want
if you're desperate, here's a pitch.
So they bought it. And they put it on their Allen Road.
I didn't know
and
that.
And it's not ready.
So Leeds basically done. So they bought a pitch off of Spurs eBay. Daniel Levy is an absolute shyster. How does he get away with this, Daniel Levy?
No, but I mean,
I'll tell you this pitch. Great pitch it is. Great pitch. Very green.
They knew it wasn't ready. They knew it wasn't fully grown. But they bought it from us anyway.
Bossman 525, Daniel Levy does it again. He's absolutely mugged them off, Leeds United. The pitch at Elland Road is shocking. And players like Rafinha, I'm telling you, I like that, by the way. David Manuel, quite a sales pitch. Quite a sales date.
To be fair,
well done, David. I like
actually
that.
Don't
Very
think
good.
Levy had to give a sales pitch.
Very
they
good.
Basically knocked on his door and said, please, Daniel, can we pay you whatever you want? Can we have a pitch?
Anyway, Leeds have got some players that deserve to play on better pitches. And Fulham is obviously a better pitch. Rafinha, talk to me about Rafinha. Another good game for this player. I mean, every time I watch him now, I think you are an absolute baller. And then he gets on that horrible, slippy, second-hand Spurs eBay pitch.
It's not an eBay pitch.
And he can't play. But when they go away, Leeds, they look better because they're off decent on a decent surface.
The problem I have with Rafinha is actually nothing to do with Rafinha. I've said this for a few weeks now. It's about everyone else around him. So my one concern for him this week, going into this game week, and part of the reason I completely discounted him in terms of bringing him in, was because, one, I wasn't sure whether Bamford was going to actually be fit enough to play. And I'm not convinced that actually Bamford was quite fit enough to be playing. There were a few moments out there where I thought,
And he did sort of hobble about a bit that first half.
He did, yeah.
Shortly before smashing it in for the first one, I hastened to add. But he did look a little bit iffy for
a
while.
He did, yeah. And my concern was with Rafinha. I think Rafinha is absolutely brilliant. Every time I watch him,
great
he's
player.
Exciting.
Like him.
He's putting in all the right balls. He's in all the right areas. He's exactly what Newcastle needs. Someone who goes out there and actually cares and wants to play well.
Yeah.
He's fantastic, but he doesn't always have people around him to finish. If he came and played at Spurs, he would be phenomenal because he's got proper strikers who would finish the ball. Whereas, I'm not saying Bamford's not a proper striker before anyone minds, but there's nobody's finishing them. That's my problem with Leeds at the moment, that he's creating all the right stuff, but there's nobody there finishing the chances.
So Leeds United, good result this weekend. And of course, they do have to, I'm afraid, go back to their eBay pitch next week. But it is against Sheffield United. So if you've got Rafinha, if you've got Bamford, if you've got Dallas, they're going nowhere ahead of Sheffield United, are they?
No, absolutely not. Play them all.
Yeah. It is, I'll be honest, the pitch puts me off captaining one of them for next week.
You're not.
Because I do like that fixture for captaincy.
Be quiet. You don't own Kane.
I don't own Kane, do I? So again, I'll be looking
for
a differential captain.
You still got Son?
Well, I have got Son, yeah, but who knows what's going on with Son and his injury.
No, Son's fine. Son's back for next week.
Okay.
He just doesn't want to go away with Korea.
All right. Well, listen, Newcastle away, yeah, I'd back you to win that, no doubt. And I'm sure you're going to attack. But Leeds at home to Sheffield United.
Bruno against Brighton.
Bruno against Brighton. There's some good captaincy options next week. Kane is not a nailed-on captain, I suggest. He's a very good option.
It's going to be a spread. Unlike this week, where it was quite heavy on one player, it's going to be a spread of armbands next week. It will make it quite interesting.
Yeah, Scott Schrager. Hey, Scott. He is saying, what leads players to carry through on a wild card? Whichever ones you've got, mate, I would suggest. Are you thinking of adding to your two ahead of Sheffield United? Because I will add, after Sheffield United, it's City away, then Liverpool and United back-to-back. So is it a case of, and again, we've spoken a lot on these live streams about fixture swings for certain clubs. Leeds United do have a bit of a fixture swing there, because after that Sheffield United game, City, Liverpool, United, again, I'm going to be looking at my game week 31 wildcard and going, sorry, Rafinha, I love you, mate, but it's three very difficult fixtures there. So how are you feeling about bringing Leeds through on your wildcard in 31?
I don't know.
Is it a sell them all, but maybe temporarily to bring them back in later?
Maybe. But for next week, to answer the original question, I think because I'm planning to wildcard 431, and because in an ideal world I would like to bench boost in game week 30, because that will change the structure of the wildcard. Because it means I don't need lots of good players. I can really heavily invest in a first team with some on the bench. I am thinking about going on a rogue keeper transfer next week.
Oof, go on then.
Getting rid of McCarthy, because it's McCarthy.
Because McCarthy, yeah.
And having Meslier as a bench boost keeper.
Okay, right, yeah, very good.
Because Sheffield United, they're not keeping a clean sheet.
I would have thought Leeds will keep a clean sheet in that game, yeah. I would have thought so.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. But I think you only bring in a Leeds player ahead of game week 30 if you're wildcarding in 31.
Yeah, okay. Jamie Rivera is in. He says, get rid of Dallas, but not Rafinha. Keep Rafinha. Okay, interesting. All right, well, listen, let us know in the comments below. Let us know your thoughts on Leeds from game week 31 onwards. I think you're all keeping for game week 30. I don't think there's any question you're going to sell them ahead of Sheffield United, but who knows what the fate of your Leeds assets might be from game week 31. So those are the games, Sam. Those are the games. Let's talk about our teams for this week before we get into a bit about the future and what we might start to think about over this international break. A quick shout out to Ashia May, who is our current March Manager of the Month for our Manager of the Month March competition. Obviously, these scores do not include the game week that was just finished, game week 29. So I'm going to total up everybody's scores. I'll put them in my magic spreadsheet, and I will be letting the Patreon supporters know on Patreon and on our Slack who is the Manager of the Month for March. We do also have an upcoming video, so we're speaking to Jeff Willis. The February Manager of the Month. We'll be talking to Jeff actually, tomorrow night. We'll be talking to him tomorrow. So look out for that video on the channel coming up over the next week or so. But good luck to Ashir, Victor and Keith. If either of you guys or any of you guys are in the live chat, say hello. Want to know how your game week went, because if any of you three had a good game week, there is a pretty good chance that you are the March Manager of the Month winner. But look out for that, Patreon supporters, over on our Slack and over on Patreon as to who is our winner for March. And of course, guys, if you want to go support us over on patreon.com/FPL family, if you'd like to get involved with our monthly competitions, not a great time to do it now, I'll hasten to add, but when we get to the beginning of next month, after the international break, check us out. If you want to come and support us over there, 1st of April is a good time to have a look at us, because that's when we'll be starting the April competition for Manager of the Month. And of course, you get all the other stuff that comes with FPL Family Patreon, like bonus podcasts and Slack access, Zoom calls, if that's your thing as well. So check us out over there, patreon.com/FPL family, and we'll see you at the beginning of next month. Right, Sam, let's get into our teams for the game week. So here is how I ended up, 45 points. Total points now on 1837, an overall rank 147k. Pretty meh, to be honest with you. But again, I look back at how my team looked on the FPL show on Thursday, and I kind of think meh is not a bad place to be, because I was kind of predicting a bit of a car crash week, to be honest with you. So to be par, which 45 feels pretty par, is okay. It's probably okay. Sanjay is asking, is that a red Lee? That is a small red. Yes, it's a small red, because I went from about 137 to about 147. So it's a small red. It's okay. It would have been a green, were it not for Harry Kane, but I've already said my piece about him. So it's a red arrow down to 147k. it's all right. Got the wild card coming up in a couple of weeks. My team for 30 looks okay. The dunk captaincy was okay in the end. Got the six, so can't complain with that. Would have obviously liked him to get the goal, but the goals come from elsewhere. So it was a bit punty. And it was between him and Rafinha. So I guess from that perspective, you could say that that was the mistake. I did consider Aubameyang as well, but really it was between Dunk and Rafinha. Never really considered either Antonio or Bamford. So the fact that those guys have come in for me is great, but I never really considered them for captaincy, I don't think. I know that you were keen on Jesse Lingard. I was never that keen on Antonio in the same way, to be honest with you. So Dunk with the six is kind of cool. 45 points, feels about par. Feel like I've dodged a few bullets this game week, but again, could have been better were it not for a bit of dive in from Harry Kane. Anyway, we'll move on. Here is your team. 51 points.
53 points. Kane got bonus.
3 points because Kane got bonus. Yep. How does Kane get bonus from that performance? Incredible. Incredible.
Because he was absolutely legend.
It's incredible that he's got, a bonus there. Let's talk about what FPL Captain is saying in the live chat. Messi Lingard in there with the 12-pointer.
Honestly.
Bamford in there with the 11 as well. Suchek absolutely S-housing you some points off of Antonio for a 5.
You've been quite annoyed all day today about these
things. Well, I'm looking at your team and I'm thinking Jesse Lingard is a fantastic transfer in, no doubt about it. But your two other high scorers, I hope everyone's got Bamford right, but Kane... S-housery, Suchek, the same. Unbelievable.
What? Outrageous.
But anyway, 51k, talk us through it.
Given that I've actually only got 8 players out there that have actually scored any goal, any points, because Creswell got naught and Sun and Bale didn't show, I will happily take a green arrow and 53
points. How do you get away with it? Like, decisions like bringing in Bale after the performances he's put in the last couple of weeks and Mourinho saying, knowing what Mourinho's like with players like Bale, and you bring Bale in, and inevitably gets a 0 pointer.
Because the
and
thing,
then Kane gets like 7 points. It's incredible.
Because
the
reality is that there was only ever two players that were going to come in. It was either Bale or Aubameyang. I'm really glad I didn't bring in Aubameyang because I thought he was completely useless today. And I don't fancy the fixture for next week against Liverpool, whereas I do fancy Bale to turn up against Newcastle.
That's true. Yeah, true enough.
So that's why I made that decision. We all know that he's only not come on today because I broke my mug this morning. By the time we play Newcastle, I'll make sure I've got a new mug and all will be well with the world again. I think 53 points and a green arrow up to 52k, that feels nice.
That's given, right. Yeah, that's right.
Given where we are and given that there was a lot of compromises, like Ben White was a massive compromise. I was really worried about Veltman and Dunk. Like this week, I thought, really worried about that. I think there was a lot of... There was a lot of free hit teams out there that were quite template, rightly, by the way, quite template, and that template massively performed. And so I was
it did,
because most people that had a free hit team had the players that I kind of fancied, the Veltmans, the Dunks, the Rafinhas, the ones that I was really, like Trossard, a punt on Trossard, those sorts of players that I kind of thought, they could do really well this week, but couldn't really justify getting. Like Watkins has been frustrating the hell out of me for weeks, but you can't take him out because he's going to play.
Because he's got the game,
So it's all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so the fact that it's a green arrow feels actually really quite nice.
Tips it in, by the way. Hey, Harry. He's just put a load of emoji lemons there. Tips, you were obviously not here for the beginning of the live stream when my original rant about Harry Kane. Rewind, mate, and you'll see some lemons. And Mick Lutzmetz is in with the salty emojis. Guys, if you're obviously only just joining us, guys, those salty and lemon emojis... from the beginning of this stream, they will be multiplied by a factor of about 4 or 5. It was a pretty good rant earlier on about the Kane non-penalty, but there it is. We'll go again. So 52K?
52K, pretty good. 53 points. And I think the thing that I'm really happy about is the decisions that I made haven't compromised next week. And that's where I feel... like I won a little bit this week because I made some decisions to leave some players out because I didn't like their fixture for next week and I didn't want to give myself a problem.
Sure.
So, yes, I made some compromises and didn't bring in some players I fancied on that basis, but it's still a green arrow and it's paid off, so it's fine.
Very good. All right, very good. Well, there we go. So 51K or 52, whatever you're on right now, very, very good, very solid game week. Let's have a look, Sam, at... So here's some... So I've put together a bit of a very early thoughts, wildcard team for game week 31. Now, this is
Kane in there.
This is a stupid thing to do, guys, because not only have we got 2 weeks of internationals to go where anything can happen.
I can't wait to see
and
this.
I don't know if you remember the last international break, but it was like everyone was picking up COVID, people picking up injuries. It was a car crash by the time we got back for the Premier League. So
I'm surprised they were letting them fly all over Europe.
Well, that's a whole other podcast, isn't it? But what I've done is put together a team in terms of my very early thinking for my game week 31 wildcards. It's not my 30 team, this is 31. Before I get to it, super chat from Duncan. Hey, Duncan.
Hey, Duncan.
Very nice to see you, Duncan Crawford. Hey, guys, 61. Good score, mate. Very good. 100K, green arrow. Nice.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Sam, looking forward to our Zoom call coming up. Lingard, you absolute legend. You speaking to Duncan soon here?
I'm speaking to Duncan just ahead of the next deadline. So, end of international break. I've got a Patreon call on Friday this week with the other Sam from our Patreon.
Very good. All right. Well, listen, very, very nice to see you again, Duncan. Let's have a look at these are the fixtures. So if you have, if you go to Fantasy Football Scout, if you're not a member at Fantasy Football Scout yet, then
why
certainly
not?
Would encourage you to go check them out. Links are in the description below, etc. If you want to go and check out being a member over on Fantasy Football Scout. One of the things that I use endlessly all the time is the fixture difficulty rating, is the fixture ticker. I think it's better than the Premier League's one. Shouldn't say that out loud, but I like the Scout one better. Because you can sort it by difficulty according to either attacking or defensive or whatever.
You can delete weeks.
You can move stuff around. And you can move teams and compare just two teams. And of course, all of this fixture difficulty rating is subjective. So you might look at that and say, well, actually, Arsenal at home to Liverpool in 30. I don't see that as a salmon-y red colour. I think that's an easier fixture for Arsenal. Well, then you have the opportunity and the ability to change that difficulty according to how you feel, not necessarily how Fantasy Football Scout website feels, right? But nevertheless, the guys on Scout do know what they're talking about because you're one of them. And
I don't do this.
You don't do that, to be fair. But what they do is they kind of come up with this fixture ticker and you can sort it by difficulty. It's great. I love it. Here are the fixtures and the teams, Sam, between 30 and 38 sorted.
Is that at the top,
difficulty, and that is Liverpool.
Is that
right,
a rogue
at the top
team at the top that we've not spoken about for ages?
Well, what's interesting is if you look at between 30 and 34, Liverpool are right down there, right in sort of 9th, 10th, something like that. So over the next 5 game weeks, Liverpool have fairly average-looking fixtures on paper. You'd maybe suggest according to the Scout ticker, but then it's at the end. It's from, you know, it's after that from sort of Newcastle United, but then the run-in is Saints, West Brom, Burnley, Crystal Palace. So the last, you know, 4 games, and even if you take the Man United game out, there's 5 games there that are sensational for Liverpool. So I think if you're going into your wildcard in game week 31, you probably ought to have some representation from that team, hadn't you?
I was just pondering, I was just looking where you are in the league.
Way down.
No, not that far down. 56. So what, you're... Yeah, 5 points behind Chelsea and 4. In my head, I was just kind of thinking, by the time the fixtures change, we'll know where you are in terms of the Champions League.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, tough draw in the Champions League. You would think that now that that is Klopp's priority for this season, is to win the Champions League. And therefore, you've got to beat Real Madrid and then Chelsea, potentially, if they make it through their tie. That's right,
sure.
Right?
But over the international break, next couple of weeks, what Liverpool assets will you potentially be paying attention to and
Jota
looking at?
Only
really Jota.
Well,
okay.
I think the reality is, you know, yes, they sit pretty at the top of the ticker, but as you've said, the next couple of weeks are tough. They've been so off it. They've been so off their game, apart from in Europe where they do look better. And I worry that Klopp might look at the league and think, we cannot get Champions League anymore through our league position. 5 points is a lot to make up at this point of the season.
Okay.
Let's put our eggs in the Champions League basket and see where we lie. I think Jota is the one that's showing the most threat and the most desire as well. It seems weird to sit here and not talk about Salah because Salah, but he's too much money for what he's given at the moment.
Okay, where else are you looking then? So again, looking at that between 30 and 38, a lot of teams there that perhaps we haven't paid too much attention to this season, like Wolves, dare I say, like Arsenal. I mean, we've been paying a bit more attention to them recently, but maybe if you go back into the season, we haven't looked at them for a long period, I'd suggest. Which of the teams kind of stand out as teams that you'd want to look at for your 31 wildcard, because you want to climb the ranks? Where are the differentials going to come from? Is there anybody at Wolves, for example, that sort of catches your eye?
Last time you asked me about Wolves, I mentioned Fabio Silva and you went mental.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible pick. What about, like, Neto or somebody like that? Is he catching your eye?
But maybe. I think that there's...
Is Connor Cody's newfound attacking mentality from corners going to convince you to bring him in for this run?
Could do. Depends on what's happening with Patricio, I think, defensively with Wolves. If Patricio's okay and he's going to be available, then...
I mean, those fixtures are insane, aren't they? I mean, the West Ham game in 30 is a tough game. Now, you know, it's at Molineux, but it's still a tough game. But from 31, Fulham, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Brom. Again, if you look at the short-term fixture list, they are absolutely up there.
But equally, those teams are the teams that need to get results. So that worries me somewhat. Because, yeah, you know, you're talking about teams that are in the bottom. Like, so...
That Fulham away, that's difficult, isn't it, actually?
Yeah. So, yes, you know, on paper, Fulham away, yeah, great. But the reality is, Fulham away, as Spurs have found out recently, that is really, really hard. That is a hard game. Fulham will go at it. They are... do I think the Wolves will get a clean sheet? No, I'm not convinced that they will. Will they against Sheffield United? Yes, I'm pretty certain they will. Will they against West Brom? Probably, but West Brom do have the odd goal in them here and there. They're not blunt like Sheffield United are. So, you know, could those clean sheets go? Potentially, yes, they could, because Wolves haven't been solid defensively. But could they score goals in those games? Yes, they absolutely could. So I think from a Wolves perspective, you'd look at the attackers.
Yeah.
But the reality is there isn't that obvious attacker because they don't have Jimenez at the moment. But
it is difficult to know where to go. It is difficult to know where to go with Wolves, I have to say. Another team that whose fixtures on paper look great, and again, obviously in 30, get the Man City game out of the way.
Mm.
Then it's West Ham away in 31, so you might build your wild card. And there may be some wildcarders that overlook Leicester because of that fixture. But then in 32 onwards, it's West Brom and Crystal Palace back-to-back home games for a Leicester side who, let's not forget, are fighting out for the top four and want to consolidate after last year's shambles and get in that Champions League this year. So you couldn't hope for better three fixtures than that, could you? So, again, a lot of you guys asking about Kelechi Iheanacho and whether he is going to be... Because always get this, don't we, in FPL? We always get... one random player that does nothing all season, and then all of a sudden, bang, he just comes to the fore in the last few weeks. Is that player Iheanacho, or am I smoking something?
No, I think it might be. He's one that...
Looks great, doesn't it?
He's one that with not at the moment, with 95% certainty, I'll be having on my wild card.
Wow. Okay.
Not necessarily because what I like about... There's a few things I like about him. I like the Leicester fixtures. Yeah. I like the Leicester... mentality this season. I think they learned a lot from last season at this point in the season where they just collapsed, and I don't think we'll see that again this year. I like his price point, and at that point, as I've said before, with the way that I'm thinking about my team for my wild card, if Iheanacho doesn't show up for a game, do you care? You just have a player come off the bench. It's not the end of the world, is it? So for me, I think looking at a Leicester defender looks smart for those fixtures that are coming up. Looking at
who would you have from the defence?
That's the tough bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the obvious choice was James Justin, and of course, I loved owning him in some ways and hated owning him in other ways because he was a bit frustrating at times. But he had both sides of the coin, the defensive stuff and the attacking side. So it remains to be seen, I think, where I go. But somebody from the defence looks promising. Let's see how Maddison and Barnes come back into the fold, because I think both of them were looking really good. I don't think I'll go Vardy, just because the way I'm looking to structure, I don't think I'll have the budget for Vardy as well. But I think Iheanacho looks like a really nice... I mean, I'd prefer to have Iheanacho over Watkins for the running.
Oh, goodness me, yeah. As John Chappell is suggesting, thank you, John, for the comment. Leicester third in the league for goals scored. One of the teams that can put nine past people. Well, it has been done before, right? I don't think they're going to do it that often. But you are right. They do score goals. They know where the net is. Mick Lustmetz, thank you, Mick, for the comment. He's saying Castagne at the back. Bossman is saying Soyuncu.
Yeah.
So, listen,
Soyuncu's like an old FPL favourite. I can see me going back there on that basis.
Yeah, possibly, possibly. And there's Arsenal again. You know, third in this ticker for fixtures in the short term. But then again, if you extend that out between 34 and 38, they hold that position in third. So Arsenal consistently good fixtures throughout the running. Now, I don't want to talk too much about these guys because we've already spoken a little bit about Arsenal and the options of Saka. Probably not Aubameyang at his price, but Saka, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, those sorts of players. But a team that certainly in the short term look pretty good, if not in the longer term. The longer term looks a little bit harder, but in the short term, Chelsea look fantastic, don't they? I mean, that West Brom a home game in 30 looks great, but then Palace, Brighton, a tricky game against West Ham, Fulham at home. I mean, these are the sorts of games where you're going to want a Chelsea defensive asset or two, I would suggest. How are you feeling about the Chelsea boys?
Yeah.
Okay. Will they have one eye on the Champions League in the same way that Liverpool do? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, but I also think that they've got one eye on one and one eye on... They're very going to be trying to play on two fronts, aren't they? Three fronts is the reality. Because they've still got the FA Cup. They went through in that. They've got a tough game coming up against Man City in the next round for that. They've got the Champions League still to contend with. And of course, their spot in fourth is definitely not secure at the moment. They got Spurs are 3 points behind them. West Ham just the 2 points behind them. So it's very close again at that point in the league. Now, I think that Chelsea have the fixtures to secure the Champions League spots. I don't think that that will necessarily be an issue.
Okay.
But my concerns with the Chelsea defence are more about who he plays. So I think Rudiger and Mendy look like nice
picks. Get the goalkeeper.
Just go with the keeper is definitely an option. That's okay. Definitely an option.
Glad you said that.
Why are you going to do that?
Well, I'll show you my draft in a minute.
I mean, that is definitely an option, is to just go with the keeper. But I do quite like I do quite fancy Aspilicueta, I think, has been pretty much nailed and looks good, has some attacking threat.
So, okay, so defence, yes, absolutely don't want to invest there. What about the forwards? Oh, I mean, Kai Havertz has looked great recently,
but
right?
But then it was Ziyech today with the goal.
So these three are starting to click. I mean, I go back to the goal they scored against Atletico in the Champions League. I mean, that's Kai Havertz picking it up on the edge of his own box, setting Werner free to square it to Ziyech. I mean, is he starting to get a tune out of these players?
Maybe he is, but I don't trust them. They're good, very good going back. They're very good at the back. Yes, they are getting going forwards, but I just don't know yet who it is. And that frustrates me. And I think I'll probably end up with Mount just for security.
Okay. Final thoughts on a team that we are all heavily invested in, but do not feature in this short-term next five fixture list. And if you look at the longer term, they don't feature there either. So good job that they are 14 points clear already. Manchester City. How are you feeling about Man City ahead of your game week 31 wildcard? How many City are you likely to have? You're on two right now.
No, I'm not.
Well, how many are you on now?
One.
Just one, which is who? Gundogan?
No, Diaz.
Just Diaz. Okay, so...
just rogue.
How are you feeling about Manchester City?
No, I'm still not really...
Still not sure?
I feel a lot of love for Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah?
I feel a lot
don't
of love.
We all?
And that's why I've sold Gundogan. I got Lingard instead. That little legend. And I sort of thought at some point Bale will become Kevin De Bruyne. That was the plan. That I wouldn't hold Bale for very long.
Okay.
That probably still happened at some point because I think Kevin De Bruyne is just one of those players, isn't he, that you want in your team.
I think so.
The problem I have with the rest of the Man City players is that they all get blooming rotated all the time and they've got the League Cup, the FA Cup, the Champions League, and the actual league. So, and the league fixtures aren't great. But they've already pretty much won the league, so surely he's going to play his best players in Europe and in the Cups.
Okay, well, David Manuel, thank you, David. He's saying KDB seems to be coming back into form, seriously considering. Well, here is the, and I let us know, guys. Feel free to rip this apart, because this is just something I threw together this afternoon based on some very early Game Week 31 wildcard thoughts. You'll see Sanchez and Mendy at the back there. So I think
shaped figure at the top.
Well, yeah, and that was before I realised he was a massive cheating diver. So I'll probably take him out now.
You won't take him out.
But I've got Mendy and Rudiger there for the double Chelsea, the double Chelsea defence, which again we've discussed is looking like a good option. I still think Man City have shown us enough over the course of the season to warrant investing in at least one of their defenders.
Is that Diaz?
So I've got Diaz in there. Yeah, I mean, that could be anybody, right? It could be Cancelo.
He's the most safe.
Could be Stones, but it feels pretty safe to go with Diaz. I think I still want to be invested in the league's best defence in some way. I think that doesn't make sense not to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Creswell would come in because, again, if you look at the fixtures, the West Ham fixtures do look pretty good. Now, West Ham will also have something to fight for, right? There's a very good chance they're going to get some European football next season. I'm not convinced they're going to go top four, but could they get in a Europa League spot? Yes, they could, which would be a massive success for that football club and for David Moyes.
At the beginning of the season, do you remember?
Absolutely right.
When we all laughed when Moyes wasn't there and they did a load better.
Totally right. Totally right. So Creswell, you know, a bit of a no-brainer, I think, between now and the end of the season.
He's
the way that he pops up with the odd assist every now and again, he just takes so many set pieces and free kicks that even if West Ham concede the goal, which is not happening a lot at the minute, despite the three they scored today, the three they conceded today, Creswell still pops up and gets those assists, so he looks great.
I really like
Dallas I would keep.
Would you?
At the moment, he's keeping. I don't know. I mean, listen, the next fixture...
There's no Leicester defender there.
There isn't. And again, it's just early thoughts. Early thoughts, Sam. This was before, I put this together this afternoon, it's before Iheanacho went off on a crazy one as well. So,
well, Iheanacho's been going off on a crazy one for weeks.
Yeah, but he's done it again today. So, in my midfield, I would go Jota over Salah right now.
Is that Luke Shaw? Is that the other defender?
Luke Shaw in there. Yeah, I think, again, I mean, crazy good form. Crazy good form, Luke Shaw. You know, for a number of weeks now, actually. Looked really, really good. Actually, they missed him today, I think. I think they really missed him. Alex Telles. Well, they missed a lot of players, but certainly Luke Shaw was one that they really looked like they missed him. Right now, my current thinking would be Jota over Salah. Of course, that could change based on what we see over the next couple of weeks. My Arsenal midfielder of choice would be Saka. It would be Saka right now. Again, could change.
I thought you were going to say Aubameyang.
Bruno would stay. Rafinha currently would stay as well, although that might change. I would bring in Kevin De Bruyne as well.
Yeah.
Kane gets a slot. Antonio gets my West Ham slot.
Interesting that you've got no Son there.
Yeah. Right now, yeah. No Son.
Just swapping one missing Spurs player for another.
Well, I don't feel the need, given Spurs' form right now, I don't feel necessary to be doubled up in Spurs' attack. I mean, that might obviously come back to haunt me, but I feel like, you know, having Kane or Son would be fine. And the way that Kane's routes to points are so multiple and the fact that he's happy to go to ground so easily in the penalty area would be one reason to get him in.
Let's get my little violin out.
And then, of course, when it would come, if I came to the wild card, I'm not gonna not play this wild card and have a couple of, like, wild card picks, right?
Please tell me Watkins has left your team.
Ah, Watkins is long gone,
who's
right? But that's
left?
Timo Werner up front. Timo Werner.
But who's next to him?
It's Antonio.
Oh, we keep
it's Antonio. So I would keep him.
You've not got the fireman.
Who's that?
Lingard.
Well, yeah, it'd be one of those two, right? But again, I look at my midfield and I think, well, could I find space for Lingard in there? Yeah, maybe. But actually up front, maybe Antonio is easier to fit in. I don't know. This is just something I threw together, Sam. It's just a very early game week 31 thoughts. A lot of football has got to be played between now and game week 31. But I do fancy investing in that Chelsea attack. I do fancy that. And given we're at a point in the season where, I mean, look at that team that you can put together. And that's got money in the bank as well, right?
I was going to say, is there money in the bank?
So there's money in the bank. I think a fair amount of money in the bank as well. Maybe a million or so. You know, that's the story of this season. Certainly the second half of this season is, we have got a squad here. We've been working with FPL squads, haven't we? Not with what we usually do in FPL year after year, which is 11 and then a couple of 4.0s and a Kilman and a Mitchell and all that. Those days are gone. We're talking about 15 now. So actually, what does that tell me? That tells me my wildcard in 31, I think I can afford to have a Werner. I think I can afford to have a Jota or somebody like that, or a couple of punts, because if they don't play for whatever reason, I've got the bench. The bench is there to cover it. I've got three very strong bench options that could come in and take the place of Timo Werner if he doesn't play. I don't know. Just some thoughts. What are you thinking? Bjorn Peterson is saying, I'm missing Wolves defenders. You think I'm missing Wolves defenders?
No, well, it depends on Patricio. I think if Patricio's okay, then potentially. I think there's a Leicester-shaped problem there. I think not having any Leicester will hurt you.
Yeah, it's probably right.
I think I'd swap Dallas for a Leicester defender. I think that would be my choice. I think I think personally that Son will have a really good end to the season, and I think owning Son and Kane would be a wise thing to do. But I can see the issue when you look at your midfield, because the reality is that you've got a nice midfield there. I think, yeah, I mean, it is a nice team. I'm not sure I trust Werner of all of them. But again, it takes you back into the midfield again if you're looking at Havertz or Mount or Pulisic or Ziyech or whatever his name is. So it is hard because I think there are a number of midfielders at the moment that are looking really, really good, and fitting them all in is physically impossible. Mm. You can't. So you have to kind of make some decisions. And I think Diaz and KDB for me will be the two City options that I think look really good. That was always the plan. To lose Gundogan now, on the basis that when the wild card happens, probably not game week 30 straight back in for KDB, because Bale has Newcastle and KDB has Leicester.
One of the things you also have to consider, and I think Mark Watts is in the live chat saying this, right? So if you're going to double up on Kane and Son, and you're going to have Diaz and De Bruyne, don't forget that 33 is going to be here pretty soon. Yes. So you have to consider that as well.
Yeah, that is a real consideration for me, is that with wildcarding at the moment, I'll lose Bale as part of my wildcard, and I'll have Son and Kane, and at the moment I've got Diaz. So if I then bring in KDB as part of that wild card in 31, I then have a problem in 33, because equally, you know, I won't have any Southampton, so that's fine. But I am looking at Fulham, thinking they're a team I would like to target, because they look like they've got the momentum to get out of trouble. And there's some decent cheap options at the back, well, everywhere actually, across the Fulham side. I really like Anderson, have for a few weeks. I like the keeper. I like Lookman. I think he's got some scope for doing well. So, you know, you look across the Fulham side and think there's good investment potential there.
But they don't play in
33. They don't play in 33. So it's tough, because you have to... Basically, what you've got to ensure is that you get... If you've still got your free hit, then 33 looks nice if you're wildcarding in 31. But I think for me, I'm probably going to try and play through till game week 33 with just one City player.
Okay, all right. And as Gurav is saying, you need to also consider the double game week. Is there a double game week in 35 as
there
well?
Might, potentially, there also is potential Spurs.
Everton maybe playing that.
Now Spurs have gone out of Europe, there's potential for a Spurs double game week in 32.
Well, listen, lots to be discussed, guys. And there's a lot of great comments in the live chat, so thank you for that. And again, if you're watching the replay, get in the comments below. Let us know what you think of this team. I'm very happy for it to be ripped apart. And of course, we've got at least three and a bit weeks
Someone's
until
being injured anyway, aren't
these
they?
Decisions have to be made. But these are my early thoughts, you know, going for a Jota over Salah, going for a Saka over an Aubameyang. Who'd have thought we'd have said that at the beginning of the season?
I never thought I'd have Salah.
You could cover Liverpool and Arsenal in midfield. At the beginning of the season, you'd say, well, you'd be having Salah and Aubameyang, wouldn't you?
Well, we did.
And that's a quarter of your budget gone. But right now, honest, you'd go Jota and Saka. And I think even if you added those two up, that's not a Salah, is it? Putting those two together?
No, Salah's 12.
That's crazy, 12. Right?
12.4.
It's crazy. And I always look at my team and think, who are the premiums? And right now, I think Bruno, I mean, we had a bit of a chat on the, I think it's a Twitter question on the FPL show on Thursday, wasn't there? You know, could you sell Bruno? I just think you've got to keep him. De Bruyne, for one, that I think great for the run-in. I think he's going to be a bit protected potentially around the Champions League. But listen, he's on form. I really, really like him. Harry Kane, just because of who he is and the season that he's having. But again, Liverpool and Arsenal, I think, can be covered by those two. If covered is such a thing, I don't know. But Chelsea are the ones... Chelsea are the ones that I think are going to get my grey matter working over the next couple of weeks, because I've got treble Chelsea in this lineup here, and I don't know whether that is complete and utter nonsense or whether going for somebody like Werner, knowing that the bench is there to cover it, could be a good option. I don't know. So guys, let us know in the comments. Let us know what you think of that team and what you would do to it, any changes you'd make, any players that are glaring misses. If I miss somebody, really obvious there. Or is there a player in that side you just go, what the hell are you doing, Lee? Double Leeds. Come on, what are you talking about? After Sheffield United, the fixtures are really tough. Crazy talk. So listen, guys, thank you for joining us here tonight on FPL Family. A bit of a break now, isn't there? 2-week break from FPL. So again, take a breather would be my suggestion. I mean, it has been a pretty intense season, hasn't it?
Hold your transfers.
Certainly
as well.
For the last couple of weeks, we've had blanks, doubles. It has been full on FPL, no doubt about it. And I, for one, am kind of looking forward to getting back to a bit of normality maybe between game weeks 30 and 38. And I know we've got some blanks and doubles, but nothing of the sort of carnage that we've seen no this chaos. Week and no not quite so chaotic end of the season. I'm hoping we get a bit more regularity now that COVID is calming down in the UK and we're starting to come out of lockdown a little bit. I'm hoping for that. Anyway, I'm hoping for that. But anyway, well done this week. If you've got anywhere in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you've done very, very well indeed, I would suggest. That's it. Anything you want to add from a social perspective? Any pods, shows, anything else going on this week?
I'm podding this week.
You are podding this week. Okay, very
podding
good.
Podding this week. So yeah, you can catch me on the podcast, official podcast this week. I think it'll be out Wednesday afternoon. It usually is on a Wednesday afternoon. I think that's it.
That's probably about it, isn't it? That's probably about it. So guys, I hope you enjoyed the live stream tonight. If you're new to FPL Family, if it's the first time you've tuned into us, if you enjoyed the stream, make sure you hit that like button before you go. Really helps us with all the YouTube algorithms, helps us to reach a wider audience and all that sort of good stuff. And hit the subscribe button if you haven't already and the little notify bell so that you know when we're live next. 9.something K on Instagram. So if you can get us up to 10K before the end of the season on Instagram, that would be much appreciated as well. So at FPL Family over on the old Instagram. That's it. See you this time next week. Are we going to do one next week?
Oh, probably.
Probably, just to see how, I mean, to be honest, see how things are going in the international break.
We can't cope if we don't. It's just reality. We'll be back next week, I'm sure of it.
To discuss what?
Oh, we have
everyone will be
about.
Enjoying the break, I'd imagine.
No, we'll start. They'll be all tinkering being done. There'll be wild cards. I know we're not playing ours, but they'll definitely be tinkering. You can give us your thoughts on whether actually you're keeping two leads.
Well, as Mahmood is saying, thank you for the super chat. Weird to have no Prem for 2 weeks. Great stream. Thanks, Mahmood. It will be weird. Enjoy the break, I would suggest, and we'll see you this time next week for another FPL Family. Cheers, guys.